Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in John chapter 6, where Jesus confronts the thrill seekers. Jesus confronts those and deals with those, actually ends up walking away from those who are following him merely for the signs that he is doing. And that's what we've been studying in John's gospel. We have seen that the thrill seekers just were enamored with Jesus because of what he could do. And remember, Jesus said that in chapter 4. Jesus said openly, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." John's gospel is the gospel of belief. Jesus says, "You people need thrills to follow me." Now, Jesus knows all these people are empty. We've studied in John's gospel that the gospel's about filling. The gospel's about life. The gospel's about true bread and living water and satisfaction and eating and drinking him and all these things in this world that seek to pull us away. And we buy into the lie that will satisfy us. Only Christ can fill. Only Christ can feed the soul. Only Christ can deliver from sin. Now, what we left off with yesterday is the expectation of the people. What the text was showing us here in John chapter 6 and the feeding of the 5,000 is that there are two competing agendas, the people's for Jesus and Jesus's for the people's. What agenda did the people have for Jesus Christ? The text makes it clear that all these people are following Jesus because of his healing power. And what conclusion now are they drawing from his signs? I want you to think about John chapter 6, verse 14. "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who's come into the world.'" So what have they done? They've linked together all the healings of the sick, and now they see him take 5 loaves and 2 small fish and feed the 5,000, and they've missed the true meaning. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to unpack the true meaning of that this week and next week. But what do they conclude? "This is the prophet who has come into the world." They're correct. The prophet. Remember from Deuteronomy, the Lord made a promise to Moses. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." So they realize that. The prophet has come. And then in verse 15, we read of John 6, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived they were about to come and take him away by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain alone." He wanted nothing to do with their agenda. And by the way, I said yesterday, we often hear from dispensational teaching that Jesus, the Jews rejected Jesus, and therefore he went to plan B and turn to the church. Well, John 6:15 does not say that. They wanted to make him king. They wanted the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, and they saw, this is the prophet, this is the king, he can do that. So they recognize something about it and about Jesus, and he turns around, turns his back to them, and he walks away from them. Now here's what I believe has happened. Jesus goes up on the mountain and sits in John 6. Multitudes are coming to him. This is all reminiscent of Moses. Remember Moses in the wilderness? Then Jesus gives bread in the wilderness. The whole thing is an ultimate fulfillment of the events of Exodus. The people recognize what Nicodemus recognized about Jesus. No one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him. They're all talking about the prophet. They're all talking about this Jesus who's come. This is the prophet like unto Moses. And there was always the expectation in Israel that when the day of the Lord would come and he would visit his people, the mighty prophet promise would be fulfilled. You know, this is why they asked John the Baptist, are you the prophet? Now, what did they expect the prophet to do? What is their agenda for Jesus? Well, what did the Old Testament prophets do? They spoke the will of God. And whenever they spoke blessing, it happened. Rain was given at the prayer of Elijah. Kingdoms were returned at their words. And in this context, this is the prophet like unto Moses. He just gave us bread. They know Hosea 12. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, he was preserved. God's words of blessing were as good as done when the prophet spoke. And that's why all the kings killed the prophets when those prophets spoke curses. The prophet has come. He is speaking prosperity. He's filling the multitudes in their bellies with bread. He's healing the sick. Don't you see it? Jesus is sitting on the mountain and they're all coming to him. And when is this? John 6 tells us that it was the time of the Passover. A feast of the Jews was at hand. Jesus lifts up his eyes and sees the multitudes coming. What did the Passover celebrate? God's deliverance in breaking the yoke of Egyptian rule over Israel. So now we see how we see the agenda the people have for Jesus. Why has the prophet come? What's he going to do? What's the king going to do? He's going to free us from the Romans. God would restore Israel now. And Psalm 118 declared of Israel's king, send now prosperity, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. This was their agenda for Jesus. Two things, prosperity and national restoration again. Now, the original Exodus did not mean that. The original Exodus, Israel misunderstood. As we're seeing here, that it was about freedom from slavery to sin, that Pharaoh and his kingdom pictured the devil's kingdom, and that their bondage with bricks and mortar pictured their bondage to sin, and that God delivered them by a mighty arm, Christ's arm, the salvation of Christ. But they had, in turn, over time, only viewed that as a restoration, a national restoration, and a setting in the land giving them prosperity. Prosperity, national restoration for this Jesus. You know, what are the two things everyone wants right now recovered in America? We don't need help with that. It's prosperity and it's restoration. Give us back our land. Give us back a model king that'll break all the oppression around us. How many political agendas use Jesus for this? How many agendas use Jesus, use values of Jesus, and attach Jesus to their gain? How many people use Jesus and his power to attach him to their agendas? You see, in John 6, they were all about building the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world, or my servants would fight. This is just our problem. We want Jesus to fit our agenda. We want Jesus to follow our economic plan, and people will give hours for it, devoting their causes and using Jesus to get them accomplished. What a problem this is. You know, we do this all the time. We do this with the whole idea here of John 6, following Jesus for the signs that he does. Think about it. How often do we as Christians say, you know, I'm just so blessed. The Lord's so good. And you say, well, what makes him so good to you? Well, I've got my health. I've got a beautiful home. All my children are doing well. Life's just great. Isn't life grand? Well, now we have a little bit of an economic downturn. And what does everyone want? Restoration of that good old life of America in 1950. You know what Jesus thinks about that? He turns his back and he walks away. My friends, it's earthly. He doesn't want that kind of kingship. Are all these blessings physically we have from him? Absolutely. He gives everyone here. We enjoy food and sunshine, rain and drink. He fills the earth with good things. And we can enjoy those things. But here's the point of John 6. Jesus did not come to serve sinful appetites. He did not come to fulfill carnal wants. He did not primarily come to give us physical bread. He did not primarily come to give us even physical healing. That will happen in the resurrection. He will give that. But he came to raise souls from the dead. And here's what's so moving about to me about this passage. They're right to call him the prophet. They're right to want to make him king. And yet in all of it, my friends, they had the wrong Jesus. The very thing condemned in this chapter is that men were seeking Jesus for the bread which perishes and not the bread which endures to everlasting life. It was the wrong seeking, the wrong Jesus for the wrong ends, getting the wrong things. And you see, we follow a wrong Jesus when the pursuit of our lives is to have the glory now. And oh, we're all guilty of it. They want Jesus to rescue them, but not as a savior from their sins. The prosperity message, you know, which is so intricately tied to the religion of the American culture and the American dream, really is a denial of the character of the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. The kingdom of God, Romans 14 says, is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness, in peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How easy it is to use Jesus Christ for our ends, to attach his power to my gain, to think, as Paul said, that godliness is a means of gain. This is the whole prosperity message in the church today. Sure, Jesus blesses us with wonderful physical blessings, and we can enjoy them. But when Jesus becomes used to be a servant of our carnal wants and not according to the principles of his kingdom, he turns us back. We've created a false Jesus. We've been deluded with a false message, thinking that he has come to give us satisfaction in something other than him. That's the problem. Thinking that he has come to give us satisfaction in something other than him, instead of using all these blessings to glorify him, eating and drinking to his glory. That's it. You see, that's the problem in John 6. Using Jesus to justify whatever I want to justify in my life, to be satisfied with something other than him. And how many people will say, you know, when they're just stuck in patterns of sin, my Jesus would never condemn me. Well, you've created your own Jesus. You're right. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. We cannot be conditioned followers, you see. We follow Jesus for who he is, how he has revealed himself in his word. So what does Jesus do? Well, in John 6, he begins to test his own for the purpose for which he came. He knows all these people are following superficially. He knows many radio listeners today are following superficially. And Jesus here tests. He asks the great question, where shall these buy bread that these may eat? Jesus is going to fill, but he's going to teach in the following section what this bread represents. It represents him. When he fills your life, you're satisfied. You love him. You follow him, you believe in him, you dine with him. He becomes your all in all because Christ is the only one giving his life so that we are truly satisfied as we have a savior from our sins. Oh, let us meet and know the Jesus of the Bible. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We give you a sincere invite to join us for worship to hear more of this Christ, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.